Well, this evening, going to take our time in the Word to consider the teaching from Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 37. And the scripture text we're going to be focusing on is Hebrews 12 and 2 Corinthians 5. They're listed there in your worship guide. So we'll be looking at Hebrews 12 and 2 Corinthians 5 and then reading Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 37. Before we hear God's word, though, let's go to him in prayer. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace to us in Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for the sheep. We thank you, O God, that you have gifted us with faith to believe in Christ, to serve him, to trust in him with all things. We thank you, O Lord, for your word, which gives us peace and hope and joy in the times of great trials. We pray, God, this evening that you would illumine our hearts, that we might hear the voice of Jesus Christ from the pages of Holy Scripture, and that we might be conformed into his image. Lord, give us hope, give us salvation through your word, we pray this evening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, our first reading of Scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 12. I'll be reading verses 22 through 23. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And now to 2 Corinthians 5. You can turn there if you'd like. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 6. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. And this is Westminster Shorter Catechism question and answer 37. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies, being still united to Christ, do rest in their graves till the resurrection. This is God's holy word. Now, the situation in which the entire world is in has forced a topic about human existence into the forefront of the minds and the hearts of many people. And that topic, of course, is death. There is much that all people can learn from this pandemic, but the topic of death is, of course, something that many people are thinking about. One other thing we can learn from this time is this, that all humanity, from the east to the west, is connected in some way. The Chinese people are taking precautionary measures in their neighborhoods to hopefully slow the spread of the virus, just as all Americans are taking precautionary measures in their neighborhoods to hopefully slow the spread of the virus. This is happening all over the world, regardless of race or religion. Now, why is this so? Well, it's because there is a common bond that exists between every man, woman, and child on the planet. And what that bond is exactly is interpreted or defined in many different ways in philosophy and religion. But the reality of that bond is clearly evident in what we are seeing today. Now, we as Christians, those who believe in Christ, Christ who is the truth, we know that there is a creational bond between all people because we are all descendants of Adam. Adam and Eve are the first parents to every single individual in the world, whether people believe this or not. And with this in mind, we could ask also why it is that all the world is agreeing to take these measures. Why is everyone on the planet agreeing to take these measures to stop the spread of the virus? The answer to that question is to curb death, to hopefully preserve life in the face of death. And that is the real issue, isn't it, friends? Now, again, as Christians, we know that because of the sin of Adam, from whom we all descend, death spread to all men. Now, philosophy views death as something natural to human existence, but the Bible presents a very different picture. Death is not natural. Death comes as a result of the violation of God's commandment. It is the judgment of God against sin. It is described as the wages of sin in Holy Scripture, and Scripture teaches us that men are subject to lifelong slavery through fear of death. This is why Christ came to this earth. This is why he took on flesh and died on the cross to pay the penalty of death for the sin of all of his people, for all those who repent of their sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ alone. Christ's death abolishes death for the believer, and it frees us from slavery to fear of death. Now, with this in mind, with these promises from Holy Scripture given to us, if this is true, then why do Christians still die? If our sins are forgiven in Christ, if the penalty has been paid, why do we still die? Why does the specter of death loom over us today, believers, no less than those who do not know Christ? Why is this the case? Well, the death of our bodies, friends, is a consequence of sin. We still suffer as a result of the death of the body, and we are still liable to be frightened by the prospect of the death of our bodies. But the reality is that for every believer, death brings us benefit rather than harm. And this is so because of what Christ has done through his death and resurrection, and because of the benefits that flow to the Christian by virtue of our union with Christ. Death brings benefits to the believer because of our union with Christ by faith. Some of the benefits of salvation that we have by faith we enjoy now: justification, adoption, sanctification, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit. These are things that we enjoy now. But there are some benefits that we receive only at death, and then others later at our resurrection. And so we come to the question, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? And the answer is the souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies being still united to Christ do rest in their graves till the resurrection. Now, at the beginning, this question assumes a certain view of man's makeup, and that, of course, is the biblical view and the true one. It is a view that man is made up of a body and a soul. As creatures made in the image of God, we are given rational, immortal souls. Our souls are not made immortal at death. All souls are, by nature, immortal. Death is not non-being. Death is not annihilation. It is a transfer of existence. Your soul, friends, is what animates your body. In the beginning, God formed Adam from the dust, but he only became a living being once God breathed into him the breath of life. The soul is the place of your conscience. It's the place of your will. Thinking and knowing are activities of the soul. When you say, "I hear a sound," it's not the case that your ears hear necessarily, but that your soul hears through your ears. The body, therefore, is the instrument of the soul. The soul was made to be housed by the body. Physical death, then, the separation of the soul from the body, it's a disruption of the harmony that God created in human beings in the beginning. Souls were made for bodies. They were made to be united to a body. The separation of the soul from the body is a disruption of that harmony. Now, as body-soul units, a consequence of sin is not only that we die, but that we are defiled in the soul by sin. James says we are lured and enticed by our own desires in heart and soul. These desires then give birth to sin in the body. But you, as a Christian, you have been given a new heart. God, through gifted faith and by the power of his Spirit, he has given you a new heart. You now desire from the soul to please God. You desire to love him. You desire to love your neighbor and to hate sin. But the remnants of sin still remain. Remnants of sin still remain in the souls of believers. So, for example, when Paul, with a new heart, says in Romans 7, I do the things I hate, he means that his soul hates sin. But he still, at times, yields to temptation, and he does the very thing that his soul hates. He sins. And this is a war that is existent in all believers. And this war between flesh and spirit, it does not end in this life for the believer. The war between flesh and spirit does not end in this life. But at death, as the Catechism says, our souls are made perfect in holiness. This is what is taught in our Hebrews passage. There, the writer is speaking of heaven, and he says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels and festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. At death, our souls enter into a state of perfection. They enter into a state of perfection whereby we no longer fall short of moral perfection. We do not fall into sin. We don't suffer temptation. It is then that communion with Christ is no longer disrupted in any way by sin. This happens at death. And this, friends, is something that we experience. Our souls are conscious and living after death, in communion with Christ. Now, the Bible teaches against the false doctrine of that is called soul sleep. Now, this false teaching states that when we die, our souls enter into a kind of vegetative state of unconsciousness, and we don't wake up again until the last day, according to this false teaching. Now, this teaching is not true, and we see this very clearly in our other passage in 2 Corinthians 5. There Paul says, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. We would rather be away from the body at death and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. In other words, Paul knew that his aim in life, pleasing God, would be experienced in a perfected and therefore a fuller way when he died, and that his soul went away from his body to be at home with the Lord. Pleasing God here, we see then in this passage, pleasing God does not take place through an unconscious, sleeping soul. So then at death, the soul is perfected and then immediately passes into glory. And so the doctrine, the false doctrine of soul sleep is repudiated by this passage and others. At death, the soul is perfected and then immediately passes into glory. Now, the teaching of the Catechism here, and that the soul immediately passes into glory, it denies another false doctrine. It denies the false doctrine of purgatory taught by the Roman Catholic Church. Now, this other false doctrine or false teaching concerning death for the believer, it says that for those baptized saints who did not merit entry into heaven by their good works on earth, for those saints who didn't merit entry into heaven, they go to a place between heaven and hell. Now, hell for the Roman Catholic Church is the place for the accursed, for the wicked, those who rejected the gospel. But purgatory is a place for punishment for those so-called yet-to-be-perfected souls. And as for the saints who are still alive on earth, they can alleviate the suffering of their loved ones in purgatory through the sacrifice of the Mass, through good works, and through indulgences. This is the false teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, this is, in fact, false teaching. It's therefore satanic teaching. Scripture teaches us, rather, that the souls of believers at death immediately pass into glory. Now, there was a thief on a cross next to Jesus. He was dying next to Jesus, and he was converted. And he prayed to Christ while he was dying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today," what day was that? The day of their death, the day of the thief's death, and the day of Christ's death. He said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise," that is, in heaven, or as the Catechism states, in glory. Now notice how Jesus refers to you and me in paradise when he speaks to the dying thief on the cross. He was talking about the soul of the thief in a living, conscious communion with the soul of Christ in heaven on that day. Today you will be with me in paradise. Now, of course, the thief's body is still in the grave today, and Christ's body, since that day, it has been raised and has been reunited with his soul. Christ is still in heaven right now in paradise, but this passage teaches us that the moment believers close their eyes in death, whenever that may be, because of our union by faith with the resurrected Christ and because of the benefits that flow to us from him, Jesus, in effect, says to us on that day, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Death, then, for the believer is an immediate transfer of existence into glory. And what is that glory? Well, it is seeing and experiencing the face and the presence of God in light and glory. As we saw from Psalm 16, "At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." When Paul thought of this benefit at death, he wanted to be with Christ. When he thought of that communion that he would have at death, he wanted to be with Christ, which he said was far better in Philippians chapter 1. So then this is the benefit that believers receive from Christ at death. It is a benefit for our souls. Our souls are received into the highest heavens and behold the glory of God. This is the benefit for believers for our souls. Well, then what about our bodies? Well, the Shorter Catechism teaches us here that our bodies are still united to Christ. Being still united to Christ, they do rest in their graves till the resurrection. And we said earlier that the separation of the soul from the body at death is a consequence of sin, and it is experienced by believers and unbelievers alike. But for those who reject the overtures of the gospel up until the point of death, their souls pass into hell, into torment. Now, while for believers in Christ, their souls pass into a state of perfected bliss in glory. And our bodies go to the grave. They return to the dust. From dust we were taken, and to dust we return. But those bodies are still united to Christ. The Bible says that we die in the Lord. Christ still cares for and watches over our bodies, even after death. And on the last day, Christ will raise and glorify those bodies with the same power by which he himself was raised. Our bodies, even after death, friends, are precious to Christ. It is this body that we are in at this moment. It is this body that Christ will raise and reunite with our souls. Beloved, if Christ regards our dead bodies in this way, at death, how much more then should we have a similar regard for our own bodies while we are still alive? This is why in times like this we should be wise. We should be wise and we should seek to preserve our lives and the lives of others. The Bible teaches us that we are not our own. We were bought with a price and therefore we should honor God with our bodies. Our bodies are precious to Christ as much as our souls. And the Bible, it offers the believer great comfort. It offers the church great comfort that in times like this, that Christ by his death, he has removed the sting and the curse of death, and he has transformed it into a gateway for further blessings from him, further benefits from what we already enjoy now, even in Jesus Christ. And so by God's grace, we, like Paul, we hope to be of good courage, knowing that while we are at home in the body, facing trials of various kinds, facing the prospect of death for us, for our loved ones, while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, but we are of good courage. We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. But whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. We always walk by faith and not by sight. May God, by his grace, comfort us from the promises of the gospel that he's given to us from these texts. To him be all praise and glory, now and forevermore. Amen.